Let's open our time with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity to speak before these folks and before these graduates. Thank you for FBTA. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to proclaim truth here in this country. Lord, I'm so thankful for the Word of God and how it is given out each and every day here in the Academy. Lord, we thank you for these young people. Thank you for their investment. We thank you for the significant investment that is represented here of their years. That investment has been made by parents and grandparents. There have been many sacrifices to have them involved in the Academy. And I'm just so grateful for the privilege that I have to stand before these folks this evening. I pray that you bless and direct in everything that is said and done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, my first interaction with these seniors, we were just transitioning into the ministry here, and my one son received a phone call from Gabby, and they were plotting a trip to King's Dominion, and they were preparing as seniors to take kind of a pre-senior trip down to King's Dominion, and I love King's Dominion. And so I quietly asked if I could horn in on their time. And against probably their better judgment, and I told them, I said, my other son and I will come. We will may be seen, but we won't be heard. We won't interrupt. And so Carson and I tagged along, right? And there were five of the seniors that were involved in that trip. And we went throughout the day, and some of them had to break off and head out early, but four of them said, "Hey, Pastor, if you can stay, we can stay." And I said, "Well, I can stay, but you need to call your folks and ask them if you can stay." And so we stayed late, I think, till they closed. And we had the best time. And just interacting, and I didn't know them that well, but I think it was about midnight that I dropped everybody else off and I called Ricky's mom. And I said, "Mrs. Shimkiss, can Ricky stay out and play?" No, I didn't say that. I asked him, I said, "I know it's late, but I said, we're kind of thirsty. We're going to stop at McDonald's real quick." And she said yes, and let me keep Ricky out a little bit longer. And she said to me later on, "If I can't let Ricky be out with the pastor, I don't know who I can let him be out with." And so he got to stay out a little bit later. But that was our first interaction together. We had a wonderful time that day. And then we've been given the opportunity to interact with them throughout the course of the senior year. Ball games, chapel services, different interactions and everything like that. And then God opened the door for us to be able to go on the senior trip. And my wife and I, in many ways, we really miss being youth pastor and youth pastor's wife. And so when the opportunity arose for me to be able to go, and to be able to assist in the trip, we were excited. Now, we learned several things on the trip that we did not know before. We learned that Ricky has eight mothers. The entire trip, everyone is mothering Ricky. Is that right? Ricky says yes. We learned that Ariana knows the words to every single Disney song that has ever been created. She knows them all by heart. No matter how fast the song is, no matter how slow the song is, we learn that she knows them all. We learn that there's not much that will stop Deanna. It was very interesting to hear the tales of their senior year and their years together. We had a great time. One of the things that stood out to me was the first time that my friend in Tennessee put a .44 Magnum with an 8-inch barrel in the hands of some of these kids, and they'd never shot a firearm before. And my friend says to them, "It'll be okay." And I said, "Why don't you go ahead and just put your hands behind them so that they're not blown back?" And I'll never forget Deanna's face, and that's what I was leading up to with what I said about Deanna before. Deanna shot that gun, that .44 Magnum, the Dirty Harry gun. And she turns around and her eyes were about to jump out of her head. And she said, "Again, again." And I guess I had bought a bunch of nickel-plated sissy pistols with me, because once they started with the 44 Magnum, everybody had to go that direction. I want to read to you from a chapter in Psalms. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. A very famous passage on the nature and importance of the home. And the psalmist speaks to the importance of having the Lord build the house. In the middle of the chapter, he speaks to the nature, though, of the potential for the young people that are trained up in the home. And he says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Arrows are offensive weapons. Arrows are sent forth. Arrows are skillfully developed. It was stated, as we were talking in preparation for coming in as the faculty and staff of FBTA, I made this statement: there's three times that are hard to speak, and there are three messages that you rarely remember. You rarely remember your graduation message. You rarely remember your wedding message, and you never remember your funeral message. But it is my hope that you all will be arrows in the hands of a mighty man. I know that that has been the purpose of your parents. I know that that has been the purpose of the faculty and staff training you to be sent forth. These occasions will be rare in the future, that all of you will be back together again. For the purpose is to send you forth. Now, I want to think on that word arrow for just a moment, and I think about the preparation of the arrow. What does it take to make a great arrow? Now, we did not shoot bows and arrows. Ariana's a little bit upset about that. But there are four ingredients for an arrow. There's the center shaft of the arrow. It's the main part of the arrow to which all other components are attached. You have the arrowhead. You have the fletchings that are there on the end that assist in the guidance. And then you have what is called the nock. It is the part of the back end of the arrow that holds the arrow in place until it is fired. As I contemplate the nature of that center shaft, all other components are attached to that arrow with that center shaft. And I can't help but think of the message of salvation. Young people, all of you have given testimony of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And it has been great to interact with you on spiritual things. It's been great to be in services with you, and it challenged me when you would come back from the sermons and you'd say, Pastor, tell us more about this. What did you think about this statement? What did you think about that statement? But the key ingredient of life is that of salvation. And you all give testimony of having trusted Christ. And I know for all of the family and friends that are gathered tonight, it is the graduate's desire that you too know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You see, the Bible tells us that we are not saved by religion, but we are saved through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the key ingredient of life. It is the center of life. Young people, don't ever walk away from what you have in Christ in your salvation. I think of the arrowhead. What else could we refer to as we reference the nature of the arrowhead but to reference the Word of God? I pray that it will be active in your life and all of your decisions. I pray that you'll not soon depart from what the Bible says and how it applies to your life. The fletchings, those guiding influences, the guiding factors in the flight of the arrow, I believe that is the Holy Spirit's active role in everything that you do in your life. I pray for the Holy Spirit's guidance in your college future. I pray for the Holy Spirit's guidance in the companion that you will select or that will select you and say, will you marry me? I pray for the Holy Spirit's guidance in your career, not making a selection based upon what you want to do, but what the Holy Spirit of God wants you to do with your life. The preparation of the arrow. It takes much to make that good arrow. You know, my friend, there has been much invested in you. Teachers that stood tonight, teachers that are seated over here to my left, many, many people have given hour upon end to guide and direct you and make you what Christ would have you to be, to bring you to this place. And there is potential in every one of these arrows. All of these young people that sit before me have great potential for the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish that I could say tonight that as Brother Bradford had FPTA graduates stand, I wish that I could say, as I know my brothers and sisters that also graduated from this place, I wish that we could look back and say that every single graduate of FPTA was still standing for the Lord and following His word. But it is possible, if not likely, that there are those that have sat in the same place in which you've sat over the previous year and years that have walked away. They were prepared in the same way, but they did not reach their potential. The preparation of the arrow is a significant investment. The potential for the arrow is great, but it brings me to the purpose of the arrow. What could God possibly do with your life? Well, one purpose of the arrow is that of an instrument of war. And we reflect on the many nations that have wisely used the arrow to bring defeat to their opponents. It's an instrument of provision. There are those that have pierced the hide of many an animal that they might provide meat for their family. It's also an instrument of teaching. Ariana reflected on her ability to shoot the bow and arrow at the wilds. And is disappointed again that we did not do that. But it's an instrument of teaching. We read in the Old Testament that David, when he became king, wanted all of the young people to be trained in the use of the bow and arrow. It's an instrument of teaching. Well, in thinking on those three things, what will God do with the arrows that are sitting before me? Will one or more of you take the gospel into the darkness of satanic oppression and lead people to the glorious light? Will one or more of you be used as an instrument of what I'd call warfare and taking people out of the kingdom of Satan and bringing them to the gospel? Will one or more of you be used to provide safety, security, and stability for a generation that is to come? You'd provide these things because you are stable, you are growing in the Word of God. It might be as a teacher, it might be as a youth pastor, it might be as a school administrator, it might even be as a pastor, a missionary, an evangelist. But you would do what is necessary to help the generation that is to come. Will one or more of you become that third aspect and be used as a teaching instrument? I don't know all the ways that God can use your life, but I know this. There's no better life than the life that is given to Almighty God. And I believe the folks sitting to my left, I believe your parents, I believe Brother Bradford, I believe all of us would say, with an understanding that we're not perfect, I believe that all of us would say, to the best of our ability, we've done everything that we can while you've been under our care to make you the best arrow that you could possibly be for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have many faults, we have many failures, but our desire is that you fly straight and true, that you be sent forth. I tell you, young people, it's going to be an exciting day, I believe, when we gather in heaven. And we have this little unique thing in common with a few other people that are gathered there. I'm a patriot. not from the other one down the road, but from the blue and gold Patriots. And it'll be exciting to be that gathered there in heaven and to see others that have come to know the Lord, because you as an arrow flew straight and true. Wherever God takes you, carry His banner high. Kids, I love you guys. We will miss you. But I know you're going to come back and see us. And we will be praying for you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for the privilege that we have to participate tonight. I pray for the remaining portion of this ceremony. Pray that it would reflect you. I pray, Father, that as these arrows fly forth, that you would use them near and far away. To the best of our ability, as they've been under our care, entrusted to us by great parents, we've sought to add to their life and to their walk. I pray that that center shaft of salvation would shine forth. Pray that the Holy Spirit of God would guide them in each decision that they make. We pray, Father, that as they go through their college years and then on into a career and seek out the companion that you would have for their life, we pray, Father, that they would fly straight and true. And Lord, if the time should come that one of them departs from the path that you would have, I pray that all of us would have a loving sensitivity in seeing them brought back. Bless each of these young men. Bless these young ladies. And bless the receipt of their diplomas. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.